Hey fam, so good to see you guys, safe and dry after Tuesday's tsunami scare. Right, thank you, Jesus, that there was no loss of life and no serious injury, because I don't know about you, but it sounded like things were going to get pretty messy. In fact, for me, on Tuesday, I wasn't really following the news, and so I had no idea what was going on. And all of a sudden, my phone started to ring out with a siren. And to be honest, I thought that North Korea was serious this time. And I thought, this is a real missile threat. But then I saw and read on the text, tsunami warning. And I immediately just stopped all my plans. Everything that I was even thinking in my mind went out the window. And I immediately just started texting friends, making sure they got the message, calling up family members, letting them know, hey, you can stay at my place if you need. In my mind, making a mental checklist as far as, do I have my hurricane supplies all set? Do I need to fill my tub with water? But I wasn't like some of you guys. I heard some of you guys were stuck in traffic for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, right outside here. Right? That's just a whole nother level. And all because of this short message that we got on our phones, right? It demanded us to stop what we were doing and change the direction of our lives in an instant. And to be honest, as this was happening, I was thinking in the back of my mind, you know, this could be a good lead into my message on Sunday if we still have service. Because Jesus, he gave an even more powerful message than the one that we received on our phones on Tuesday. He gave a message that would change our lives. In giving us these seven distinct I am statements in the Gospel of John. And so we don't want to miss out on these life-changing statements. So if you can open up your Bibles to John chapter 8 and go ahead and meet me in verse 12. If you don't have a Bible, we've got hardback ones under our chairs. If you don't own a Bible, go ahead and take that Bible home. That's our gift from us to you. So we're going to start this message a little differently. I'm going to read through the entire text first, starting with verse 12. Let's get into it. Jesus spoke to them again. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisee said to him, you're testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid. Even if I testify about myself, Jesus replied, my testimony is true because I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you don't know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true, because it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Even your law is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. Then they asked him, where is your Father? You know neither me nor my Father, Jesus answered. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple, but no one seized them because his hour had not yet come. So last week, we launched into a new sermon series in the Gospel of John. And in this gospel, Jesus is making these powerful claims that will change our lives if we receive it. So last week, it was Jesus is the bread of life. And here, he's claiming to be the light of the world. And when we hear these I am statements, you know, we're outside of Jesus' time and culture, and so it might not hit very hard for us. But the people listening to Jesus would have been shocked. Sirens would have been blaring in their minds. He wasn't just preaching. He was calling himself by the same name that God told Moses to call him. I am who I am. That's basically Jesus saying, you know, the same God, the same name God used for himself way back in the Old Testament? Yeah, that's me. The one speaking to Moses from the burning bush, you're looking at him. See, Jesus is not talking about God. He's claiming to be God. And that's why the religious leaders reacted the way they did. They wanted to kill him because he was about to change everything. But before we go any further, it's important to know when Jesus said this, right? Jesus declared that he is the light of the world during the Feast of Tabernacles. This was a celebration that was bigger than any block party. It involved the whole city. But not only that, people in the countryside would stream in to Jerusalem to celebrate. You know, they're driving in from Aiea and Kailua, Kaneohe, even the second city, Kapolei, just to be a part of this party. And the feast, it lasted longer than any of our holidays. Like maybe for some of us, we'll spend the whole day for Christmas. We'll spend a couple days, maybe for New Year's. But they partied for 7 days. And maybe you're thinking, man, what can I do with extended family for 7 days? What are we going to do? Well, at this Feast of Tabernacles, which is also called the Feast of Booths, everyone would pack up their bags and then go camping in these little booths. And so imagine all of us packing up, walking over to Magic Island, and camping there for 7 days, for a week. Now, they did this to commemorate the Exodus, when their ancestors lived in tents, when God delivered them out of Egypt and was leading them to the Promised Land. They were celebrating God delivering them from slavery. They would take a pitcher filled with water. They would pour it on the altar in the temple in Jerusalem. And that reminded them that God provided for his people in the desert through a rock. They also took this massive candle holder that held a bunch of lamps. They hung it in the temple. And that basically was their Honolulu City Lights. That light was so bright that it would just flood the temple and spill out into the whole city. That light was a reminder that God was leading his people through the desert with a pillar of fire day and night so that they could travel even during the evening. This festival took place. There was dancing and singing and music. It was the place to be. But here's the thing. On the last day of the celebration, the lights during the nighttime, they weren't lit. The city went dark because the people, they were packing up. You know, they got work the next day. They got to get ready to go back home. But the darkness was also a reminder of something, something that they've been missing for a very long time. See, when Israel turned their back on God, in the Old Testament, God's glory left the temple, never to return again. And so every year on that last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the lights would go out. And that time of celebration would turn into a time of reflection, where now the people would be thinking, when will God's glory return to us? When will the spiritual darkness end? It's during this time that Jesus stepped in and declared, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness. Here's what that means for us. Is Jesus is the light that leads you. He gives you direction. That's the first thing we want to see. He gives us direction. Just as the pillar of fire led God's people years ago, he will lead you through the valleys and the dark areas of our lives. When was the last time you had to move around in the dark? Because walking in the dark can be dangerous. Right, there are a few things more painful than walking around at night in your living room and stepping on a Lego piece that your kid left out on the floor. That is so painful, right? The darkness can bring pain. But also, when you're in the dark, you can also get lost. Years ago, I was a youth leader at a camp in California, and we went out to this remote, mountainous area, and we did this activity at night. They called it the Faith Walk. And we walked this mountain trail without any lights. There was no cell phone with flashlight, no GPS, none of that. We were just in the dark. And you would be scared. I was scared that you'd journey off a cliff. But not only that, this is California. See, growing up, I only had to deal with mongoose, centipedes. That's it. In these mountains were bears. Like, I had no frame of reference for that. There are bears in these mountains. So I'm thinking, man, this activity could be a lawsuit waiting to happen. I might get lost. See, when we're in the dark, we get hurt, we get lost. And that could lead us to being scared in the dark. That's why we got night lights. Right? How many of us remember as kids, we'd sneak into mom, dad's room, grandma, grandpa's room at night because we were scared. Right? And just kind of sneak by their feet and lay at the bottom of their beds because we were scared of the dark. And now me as a parent, it happens to me. And I totally get it because the darkness can be scary. You don't know where you're going. you don't know who's in front of you, what's in front of you. You're afraid you might step on something that's painful. See, some of us are going through that situation right now. You're in a place where you don't know which way to go, what choice to make. You're scared that one decision will set off a domino effect of changes, and you're not ready to face that. So you've been waiting, maybe even delaying, just hoping for direction. See, when we are in the dark, we tend to get desperate. And we look at all kinds of things and people to be our light. When we've got influencers popping up on our feeds, telling us where to invest, what to eat, who to marry. We've got digital buddies, right? You know, like ChatGPT. We got Auntie Gemini. We got Grandpa Grok. We got Cousin Copilot, right? All these kinds of voices out there in the cloud. But not only that, right, we've got people in our lives telling us where to work, where to spend our time, what to do with our lives, right? We might seek information to lead us to where we think we should go. But Jesus is the only one, ultimately, who can bring us where we need to go. He's the one who gives us direction. He is the light of the world. And if you're following him, you'll never walk in darkness. Now, that doesn't mean that we'll know everything about our lives. But what it does mean is that we have Jesus who's with us, who does know everything. And since he is the light of the world, what that means for us is he is exclusive. He's your only option. There's no other light you can turn to. There's no other belief or religious system that you can turn to. There's no other person or program, no resource or skill that can give you the direction that you need to live the life that God intends you to live. Jesus is exclusively the light. But he's also inclusive because he is the light of the world. Every person, no matter who you are or what you've done, where you've been, there's a place for you in Jesus's light. And in his light, you're never alone because he's right there with you. He'll bring you through every circumstance in life, even the ones that we make a mess of. He's there. He's your pillar of fire, leading you to places you've never been before, leading you in that new job that you just got hired for, leading you in that new challenge as a family that you're facing, leading you in that recent health diagnosis. You don't have to be afraid because he's your light. You can trust him with all of your heart. Don't put your hope in your own way of doing things, but go to Jesus. Ask him to lead you, and he will make your path straight. And if we lack direction, the Bible says we can ask him, and he'll give us the wisdom that we need. And he'll often provide that direction directly through his word, through principles and truths. He'll give us direction through people that he's placed in our lives. He'll give us direction in circumstances where God opens up our eyes in them to see him clearly working. He's given us his Holy Spirit to convict us and nudge us and lead us to where we should go. So the light gives us direction. Here's the second point. The light reveals your problem. It reveals your problem. And here's the bad news, is the main problem is not darkness that's around us, but it's the darkness that's in us, our sin. In verse 12, Jesus clearly teaches that walking apart from him is to walk in the darkness. That's what he's trying to show the religious leaders. Look at verse 13. So the Pharisees said to him, "You're testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid." "Even if I testify about myself," Jesus replied, "my testimony is true because I know where I come from and where I'm going. But you don't know where I come from or where I'm going." And in verse 19, then they asked him, "Where's your father?" "You know neither me nor my father," Jesus answered. "If you knew me, you would know my father." See, these religious leaders claimed to have the light, to know God. But they didn't know Jesus as God's son. And here's the thing, that meant they really didn't know God, even though they appeared to devote their lives to worshiping him. They were in the dark. They followed their own rules, their own laws. They thought they lived a moral life. And Jesus is telling them, you don't know the Father because you don't know me. I'm the true life. I'm the true light. Follow me. And this is not only a problem for the religious leaders. It's all of our problem, apart from Jesus. We're all in the darkness because the darkness, it's in us. See, living in the darkness reveals something about your heart, that it's at war with God. John describes this hostility a few chapters ago. Take a look at John 3:19 that we have up here. He writes, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God." So if you've ever read John's gospel and his letters, you might notice that John, he likes to repeat a lot of words and phrases. You might think like he's like that family member that you see on the holidays that's always saying, telling the same story over and over again. You're like, okay, I get it. Maybe you're that family member that does that, right? So John, he's always talking about words like love and hate, life and death, light and darkness. Now, he's not like a looping video on your feed. He's showing us something. He's circling back on these topics so that we can get different angles and aspects of it. All right, think about it like this. People will pay hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars to fly to Kauai, hop on a helicopter, and circle around the Nepali coast. I've never done it, but people who did tell me it is just amazing. Because on the first ride there, you'll see cliffs, waterfalls, hidden valleys. But you'll never see everything on the first trip. Because no matter how many times you circle around, you're always going to see something new. Something amazing. See, what John's doing here is he's circling around these amazing truths about Jesus, that he is the light of the world. He's showing us that Jesus is the one who gives us direction. But here in chapter 3, he's taking us on a different tour. He's showing us that the light exposes our problem, that we are in the darkness of sin and death, and we love it. That also means that we hate the light. We hate Jesus. And that sounds really drastic, right? Well, hate Jesus. Well, John tells us why we hate the light and avoid it. Because ultimately, we don't want our lifestyle to be exposed. We want to live the way that we want to live. We want to be in control. But if the light turns on, then if we're doing something or believing something that's wrong or destructive, we get exposed. We hate that. We'll be embarrassed. Because ultimately, we don't want to change. So we'll stay in the darkness and we'll avoid the light. One of my childhood memories was when I returned home at night and I would dread going into the kitchen and turning on the kitchen light because I knew that when I turned on the light, there'd be these massive B-52 roaches all over the place. And once those lights went on, they would just scatter. They would go into the cracks. They would go into the drawers where they came out of. And you know why we call them B-52s in Hawaii? Right? It's because, you know, that when these bad boys are cornered, when they feel threatened, they get aggressive. Right? And you've seen that probably. Right? They'll launch themselves at you like a large body aircraft, like just trying to scare you off. Because you disrupted them. You disrupted them from doing what they were doing in the darkness. They want to enjoy those cookie crumbs in secret. They don't want the light on. Because they can't eat in peace. So they will either fight you or they will flee from you. John is saying that's the reason human beings don't like the light. Because we want to keep doing what we're doing. We don't want anyone telling us what to do or who to be. But once God shines the light in our lives, once it's exposed that maybe we're engaged in a relationship that's wrong, or we've been approaching work or money with wrong motivations, that our screen time activity is dangerous to our minds and hearts, we'll either fight God or we'll flee from God. And that's what living in the darkness is like. The Bible teaches us that we were all born in the dark. David says, sinful at birth. And because of that, we are rebels against God. We are sinners in our nature. It's our choice. And that's why Jesus came to reveal to us our dangerous situation, because he cares for us. And he doesn't want us to stay in the dark. And it's shocking, right, to realize that you're in it. Right? When you're in bed, sleeping, someone turns on the light, someone opens up the blinds, right, and you're not expecting it, or you're probably not happy about it. Right? They're interrupting your sleep. Right? When we realize that we've been living in darkness all our lives, and sin and death, that's shocking. And some people will try to ignore it. They'll yell at you, right, turn off the light, I'm trying to sleep. And that's what Jesus is doing here for the religious leaders. He's shining the light, but they refuse to get up. They're fighting the light. But if you're a follower of Jesus, right, God turned on the light and you woke up, right, and you said, right, I've been asleep, I've been in the dark all this time, I don't want to be here anymore. Right, Jesus, I need you. I need your light. If that means that your light shines on parts of my life that need change, then Jesus, you are that light. So bring that change. Because he doesn't only expose our sin to humiliate us. He doesn't do that. He exposes it to call us to life. He exposes our sin to rescue us. That's the third point. That's what light does. The light rescues you. Look at verse 15. Jesus says, "You judge by human standards. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true, because it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your own law, it's written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." So the religious leaders, they looked at Jesus and rejected him as the light, because they used their own standards of judgment, right? They looked at Jesus and thought, man, look at this uneducated guy from a small town. How could he be the light of the world? But since these religious leaders were in the dark, they couldn't see things clearly. Jesus saying, that's not how I judge. I judge as someone who is in the light. I am the light. So follow me. He's calling them to be delivered from the darkness. And not only Jesus, but the Father testified about Jesus. When Jesus was baptized and when Jesus was on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, God the Father declared, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Now, some people might argue, okay, I can accept the Father's testimony, but Jesus, his testimony is invalid because he's testifying about himself. But think about it like this, right? Try to use that argument with your boss, the owner of the company you work for, the principal at the school that you teach at. Right, if you go up to them and tell them, man, you're not in charge, even though you say you are, right, that wouldn't take us very far at all, would it? Right, because in reality, she is the boss. He is the principal. Jesus is the Son of God. And so his testimony about himself is absolutely valid. And he backs up his claim through his miracles. And ultimately, when he rose from the dead, he's making a gigantic claim because he's trying to wake us up. He's revealing to us that we're in a bad place. He's sounding the alarms. And it's not a missile crisis. It's not a tsunami, but it's eternal darkness, a life spent forever in the dark. And he doesn't want us to be there. And so in compassion, he rescues us. He's our pillar of fire that walks us through the darkness. But you have to respond to the light. Every single person in your life, Your family members, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your one more, they all need to respond. And that's either to continue to ignore and to reject the light or to receive and walk in the light. So how about you? Have you received Jesus as your light? And if you already have, then what is your next step then in the light? Well, let me encourage us four ways. Number one, it's to depend on Jesus. To believe that he's not only the light of the world, but that he is your light. Just as we need physical light to see and to move and to live, we need the light of the world every second of every day. The Bible tells us that Jesus holds together our lives, the world, and the universe by his powerful word. And if he were to just let go, our lives would come crashing down. To depend on Jesus is admitting that we're lost without him. It's believing that Jesus took our darkness of sin on the cross so that we would receive his light. And now we depend on him daily. And that dependence is reflected through our prayer life. See, our communication with God reveals that we trust him. The way that a little kid would run to their parent when things get tough and confusing, running to their parent saying, I need you. I trust you. That's our prayer life with the Lord. That's how we depend on Jesus. And second, the way that we walk in the light is to enjoy him. Because as we're depending on him, we're going to find that he is full of joy. And he wants to share that joy with us. Jesus called himself, back in John 8:12, the light of life. He is the ultimate source of satisfaction and joy, the bread of life. One way I want to encourage us to grow in this enjoyment of Jesus is through the gifts that he's given us. You know, I think sometimes we can think that Jesus is the road that we drive on to get to the thing that will give us joy. So we'll follow Jesus to get that job or that relationship or that standard of living or that health because we're using Jesus as the road to get us there. But instead, I want to encourage us to think of all these blessings and relationships and circumstances. They are roads instead that lead you to enjoy Jesus even more. So for example, when you're enjoying that epic lunch at the Kahala, right, devouring those ahi musubis that Pastor Matt was talking about a couple weeks ago, right, that lunch becomes the road that leads you to praise Jesus who gave you those taste buds. When you're enjoying that game of pickleball, right, with some friends, right? That's the road that leads you to thank God who gave you a physical body to participate in. When you're listening to some good music in the car, right, and you're singing like it's a concert. To be honest, some of us do that. I do that, just a little, right? That music, that time, that's a road that leads you to enjoy God who created a world that's not monotone, but that's filled with melodies and harmonies for us to enjoy. When we're hanging out with friends or family members, just really enjoying that relationship and conversation. That's the road that leads you to celebrate God who's given us community. And in himself is community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. See, all these activities and people and stuff, they're like arrows that point us to the light of life. They aren't life in and of itself. And when these things become the road to Jesus, these ordinary activities transform into worship. Because we're no longer looking at these things. We're looking past these things and onto the one who is unseen, the light. So walk in the light, enjoying Jesus. And then from that joy, we walk like Jesus. That's the third way we walk in the light, to walk like him. So what does that look like? Well, remember John, he likes to repeat words and phrases to give us a fresh angle on them. So we got to hop in the helicopter, his helicopter one more time. And look at 1 John 1:6-7. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, we're lying and not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light, here's the key phrase, as he himself, God, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See, walking in the darkness, John is saying here, is walking in a life of sin. Walking in the light is walking with God. It's to live like Jesus, who is God and who is the light and who walks in the light. And Jesus, while he was on this earth, he walked in the light by obeying God's word. See, God has given us his word to shine the light on our lives, to show us how to live. His word, as the Bible says, is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. And so what that means is God's word then describes what human flourishing looks like. His word instructs us on how to navigate our relationships, what a healthy and flourishing relationship looks like, and what a destructive and deadly relationship looks like. Culture does not define that. God's word defines that. His word defines who we are, our identity, what we are to celebrate and what we are to avoid. His word has authority over our attitudes, our motivations, our work, our dreams, our money. And because he's the source of life, see, we're going to experience deeper joy as we walk like Jesus. Walking in the light means that his word rules over every aspect of our lives. And really, that is good news because Jesus is the light and he's good and he knows where to go. And the reality is we're not going to walk like Jesus perfectly. His word, right, when his word reveals motives, actions, relationships in our lives that are still in the dark, when he shines the light in those different areas, my encouragement is instead of being those B-52 roaches that either fight against God or run away from God and God's people, instead confess, when he shines that light, confess where we've not lived like Jesus. Celebrate that Jesus died on the cross for those sins, and then ask Jesus for the willingness and the strength to bring those areas to him for help. That's what stepping into the light looks like. It's daily seeing the dark areas of our lives that we've kept secret, bringing it to Jesus. And we do that with the support of the church family, by bearing one another's burdens and struggles. So walk like Jesus. And then finally, we walk in the light by reflecting the light. Not only is Jesus the light of the world, but in the other gospels, Jesus says that he calls us to be the light of the world, that you and I, we are the light of the world, and that we're not to hide our light. But here's the key difference, right? Jesus' light comes from himself because he is God. Our light comes from him because we can't generate light on our own. So Jesus is the sun and we're the moon. And that's good news because that takes the pressure off of us to generate light. Because on my own, I'm selfish, I'm greedy, I'm sinful. I cannot generate true, lasting joy and peace. That's something only the Holy Spirit can produce. But when I'm in the light, then his light shines in and through me. So that when people ask us, why do you seem to enjoy life so much? Or why aren't you stressing out when you should be? Or there's something different about you, and I just can't put my finger on it, but in a good way. Point them to the sun, because we're just the moon. But we're a moon on a mission to shine the light of Jesus through our good works that are powered by the light, and to point people to Jesus by sharing his good news. So family, I want to encourage us that we would walk in the light, and then we'd enjoy that light, and then reflect the light to the people God has placed in our lives. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Jesus. He has not left us in the darkness, but as the light of life has rescued us from sin and death, given us a new life, one that's filled with joy and an adventure of walking with you every day. getting to know you more and more, getting to enjoy you more and more. And so may that be a reality in our lives as we depend on you every step of the way. We thank you for the cross, Jesus, where you took on our darkness so that we would be in your forever light. So we rest in that. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.